Good morning, everyone. It's a blessing to be here and a blessing to bring the Word of God today. We're going to be reading on the book of Genesis, chapter 3. Book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 16. And we'll be standing for God's reading this morning. Genesis 3, verse 16. To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you will bring forth children. Yet your desire will be for your husband. He will rule over you. Then to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, you should not eat from it. Curses the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life, both thorns and thistles. It shall grow for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and dust you shall return. Father, we worship you and we honor you. We are here because you predestined us since the world before the world was created. And we're here to bring, try to bring a clear understanding of your word and to know that you are God. You're always God. You're always being God. Nothing can affect your plans. Nothing can toil your plans, Lord, because you are sovereign. And Lord, you are sitting on the throne. You are mighty. You are powerful, you're omniscient. And Lord, before the world even was founded, you had this church in your mind. Allow us to convey your word clearly. Allow us to convey your word to edify the heart and to give more glory to you, Lord, because you are God. Thank you. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Thank you for sitting. So the title of this sermon, Evil and Suffering and Why God Allows It. Evil and Suffering and Why God Allows It. As you are aware, the idea of God this stage is very, very obscure. It's not clear. People ask the questions that if why God is so loving and God is so merciful, if God is so forgiving, why would the biblical God be all-powerful, holy, and all-knowing, allow evil to exist in the world? Why would he do that? And suffering. Well, some people may say it started with Adam and Eve. Why the God of the Bible would create them, knowing that we're going to fail, that we're going to come short. Why would God create Adam and Eve, knowing that at some point, that we're going to disobey him, and by this transgression, that will bring all the human race to chaos and eternally condemned? Why would God do that? Right? We know that there are different kinds of evil, and I'm going to start with one of them. Right? I'm going to start with natural evil. So, if God created Adam and Eve, if God knew that they were going to fail, why would he create them? Right? It's a good question. And through the centuries, people are trying to figure God out. On their head, trying to figure God out, who God is. They're trying to figure God out mentally, emotionally. But it's a very failed mission to try to figure God out. It's futile. I always said to those people, if you're trying to figure God out, it's trying to you count all the grains of the sand on the bottom of the sea, or try to count all the stars in heaven. It's impossible. You can't. You can't understand God unless it's revealed through the scripture. However, we acknowledge there is evil in the world, and evil comes in many forms. We got natural evil. That includes diseases, famines, bacteria, natural disasters, earthquakes, viruses. You know, we live in a really bad planet. We live in a bad world. We don't know when a tragedy is going to happen. If you look at the news, we see what's happening in California. They never got 12 foot of snow ever. The fires in Texas, the floods in Taiwan, the tsunamis in Malaysia, and on and on. See, those are the calamities of a fallen world. It's not personal to us. It's outside of us. You and I cannot control it. We cannot predict the calamities of the world, when they're going to take place, how they're going to take place, and how it's going to affect the world and the people living in the world. We don't know. Some people try to come up with an idea, say, we got to save the planet. You cannot be using hairspray. You cannot be drilling for oil. You cannot kill a deer, right? Trying to save the planet. But look what Romans 8:22-23 says. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in pains of childbirth right at the present time. Not only, but we ourselves, we have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to the sonship of redemption of the body. So the earth is groaning to see the sons of God manifested, right? And to those people who wants to save a tree, not drill for oil, not kill a deer. Even the hairspray we use, don't worry, it's not going to affect the ozone layer. Oh, global warming, right? Look what 2 Peter says in 3:10-11. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with the roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be discovered. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people are you to be the holy conduct in godliness? So you can drill as much oil you want to. You can kill as many deers as you want to. Cut some trees if you want to. Correct? Because eventually, God started this creation, and God is going to end it with or without your permission. 1 John 2:16. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. So not only the world is falling, not only the world has got calamity, also the world affects us. The fallen world. This world offers so many things, but those are lies, because those are temporary things. Right? The devil did that with Jesus. If you bow to me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world, knowing that His kingdoms are His. He created the earth and everything that is on it. The second thing, evil, the second type of evil that exists is in the human heart. The evil in the human heart. Immorality is evil. It is personal. The human heart. The human heart is so wicked. Desperately wicked. We're born with it. You and I are born with that wickedness. This evil is in every human being, from those in power to those that are not in power. This evil is in every human. In many humans, many of us, we try to suppress it. We try to hide it in different ways. We use psychology. We use therapy. We even go to certain people to try to heal us of that evil. But it cannot be taken away. It's there. That's why the Bible says that God had to give us a new heart, a new mind, a new soul through the new birth. Some people try to suppress this evil through false religion, through false practices. And you see that on the false religion. You see Mormonism. You see Jehovah's Witnesses. I mean, if you look at Mormonism, they got more than 1,000 gods. Because you know what? You are a god too. That's what they believe in. So this evil reflects the human condition. And the human condition is fallen, as the world is fallen. Some religions try to earn God's merit through human effort, which is humanism, but they fall short. On and on, people fall short on trying to please God and trying to get his mercy through actions by humans. Some people say that humans have a good heart. How many books have written and said, oh, he was a good person. He was a nice person. He loved his family. Which is, those are good qualities. We ought to love our families, correct? And people ask the question, why do bad things happen to them? To good people. Books have been written by the hundreds. But let's read what the scripture says in Romans 3:12. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one good who does, there is no one who does good, not even one. So that means that there is no one that is good. There is no one that is good, not even one. Matthew 15:19. For out of the heart come the evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. Christ said it, out of your own heart, out of there. I mean, you see that when you have, for those who have kids, look at your kids when they're little. Do you teach them how to take away toys from his sister? No, you don't. They're born with it. That little cute bundle of joy, it's a sinner. It's born with sin. Those real nice red cheeks that they have, still a sinner. No one is good, not even one. Matthew 15:19. For out of the heart, the evil thoughts come. It's there. It's in our hearts. Lying, theft, false testimony, slander. James 4:1-2 says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have. So you kill, you covet, but you cannot get what you want. So you quarrel and fight. You don't have because you don't ask God. Wars have been initiated for resources. The strong always conquers the weak. Then there is another evil, the supernatural evil. This evil, at some point in the history of the world, has affected the human race. They operate very, very well. The supernatural evil operate, they're very structural. They work, and they have worked in this world since the beginning. In heaven, we know that. God created them. This evil works so clandestine, so secretly, since the beginning of creation until Christ came, exposed him publicly. We see that when Christ went to this island of Gadarene and this person had 2,000 demons inside of him and they bowed before him. These evil are spirits, corrupted, falling angels who at some point decided to rebel against God and became vile, wicked. These beings were publicly exposed by the Son of Man. In the book of Jude, the Bible says that God saw some of them to be so evil that he put them directly in eternal prisons, in jail. And sometimes God allows this supernatural evil to affect our lives. You can see that on Job. You can see that on the Apostle Paul. God allows sometimes this spiritual evil to work even in the sons of God. You see that Job, when the devil went before him, before the Lord, and asked permission to sweep Job. We see that on Peter. We see that on Paul. 2 Corinthians 12:7. Or because this surprisingly great revelations, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. So they're well organized. They're responsible for false religion. They try to destroy God's plan. And we see that in the beginning. We see that when the third part of the angels try to overtake the throne of God, and God kicked them out. They blind the world so they cannot see the gospel. 2 Corinthians 4:3, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God. Ephesians 6:12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, rulers, authorities, against the powers of the dark, of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. So pretty much the devil is a temporary ruler of this world, but God deems it so. God allowed that. There's evil, yeah. There's evil in the world. There's evil in the heart. And there is supernatural evil. God also exists. Satan's temporarily of this world, temporary ruler of this world. So we know evil is real, but also God is real. He's sovereign. He controls everything. He created everything out of nothing. Since the beginning of the world, he spoke on everything into existing. From the beginning, he oversees everything. There is nothing that will come to pass unless he allows it. Not only he controls everything, he created everything, he also will end everything. He started, he will finish it. Psalm 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything on it, the world and all who live in it. 1 Chronicles 29:11-12, yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power, the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as the head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Psalm 115, verse 3. Our God is in heaven, and he does whatever pleases him. So we are not in control. He is. Daniel 4:35. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand and say to him, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? I don't agree to what you're doing. Scriptures repeatedly tell us he's in control. He created everything. And he will end everything. Look at the flood. Look at the flood. He drowned our creation, the whole creation. He drowned everyone. We do not know how many people were there. People say 1 million, 10 million. We don't know, but he drowned them. By his own power and his own will. He did that. Imagine, we don't know if it was maybe 20 million people. We don't know. depending how fast that we're, procreating. Because at some point, people lived 900 years. Now, I asked my wife a question not too long ago. I asked her, I said, imagine being married to a person for 900 years. And she still hasn't given me an answer. 900 years with the same person. Imagine that. Talk about homeschooling for 900 years. Think about that. But to some believers, this concept of God being in control is hard to grasp. They don't like the fact that God makes the choices for their lives. They don't like the fact that God is in control of everything from the beginning to the end. Some people might say, well, it's kind of hard to understand those things. Okay, it's hard to understand that God is in control. Think about if he wasn't in control. For a moment, think about that God was not in control of everything, right? It's hard to understand that. Deuteronomy 32:39. See, now that I myself am he, there is no God beside me. I put to death and bring to life. I have wounded and I will heal, and no one can deliver out of my hand. Exodus 4:11, the Lord said to him, who gave human beings their mouth? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight? Who makes them blind? Is not I the Lord? Psalm 105:16, he called down a famine in the land and destroyed all the supplies of food. Lamentations 3:37-39. Who can speak and have it happen if the Lord has not decreed it? It is not from the mouth of the Most High that both calamities and good things come. Why should the living complain when punished for their sins? So how can someone argue with these verses? All calamities in the world, God has allowed them. Well, that's impossible, Brother Martin. God is holy. God is merciful. Why would God allow that? Those calamities. Well, can the clay say to the potter, why you do it like this? And God, and let me make a parenthesis, God doesn't owe us an explanation. He's not bowed to us. But we're bowed to him. God doesn't know us an explanation to tell us what he does. And he will not tell you. He's already told us what he's done through the scripture. How can someone say, why would you do this? Who are you to question God's providence and God's sovereignty? So why would God allow it? Why would God do those things? God has established in the beginning that he's in control. Some people even feel that God needs rescue. That from bad press, bad opinion. Oh, we got to help God. God, we got to have a positive view of God. So they need to rescue God. Let us not be mistaken. He's holy. He's pure. He's perfect. He's not capable to do evil. He cannot look at evil positively. He's holy, holy, holy. But he is content to leave the responsibility of the existence of evil on him. He allowed it to exist since the beginning. God did not create Adam and Eve and threw a dice in the ground and said, let's hope that they don't fail. Let's hope that this goes well. It is a concept to grasp. When God created the angels, He didn't throw the dice again. He said, well, let's hope that the angels will not fail me. He is God. He's in control. He rules over everything. 1 Timothy 6:15, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Rex regum dominus dominatium, King of kings and Lord of lords. Matthew 11:25-26. At the time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. Job 23:13. But he stands alone, and who can oppose him? He does whatever he pleases. Amen. He does whatever he pleases. We struggle with this idea that God does whatever he pleases because we want to be in control. We want to decide what happens in our lives. We want to direct ourselves and do as we want. But we forget to acknowledge sometimes that he is in control of everything. And we question the decisions that he makes. I don't like what you're doing, God. Right? Does that sound familiar? Right? Somebody asked a question. Remember Job? Job asked, and God says, who is this who questions God's sovereignty? And he gives him a list of everything. What were you when I laid the foundation of the world? Did you know how deep the water was going to be? Do you know the sun and the moon? Did you tell them to stop there? You read the book. All these questions, God told him. What were you when I sent Orion and the Pleiades on the sky? What were you? Right? So we question God. Even here in America, we want to be part of the solution. But you ever question why God has allowed so many things to come to this country? Why people are just doing as it pleases, like they're running loose with no control? Could it be that at some point we have forgotten and acknowledged that God is in control? And sometimes God had to make a statement, let us know, you're not in control, I am. God is in control. God has been in control since the beginning. Psalm 33:9-11. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purpose of the people. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purpose of his heart through all generations. Psalm 103:19. The Lord has established his throne in heaven and his kingdom rules over all. Psalm 46:9-10. Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is no one like me. I make the end from the beginning, from ancient times that is still to come. I say my purpose will stand and I will do all that I please. Isaiah 14:27. For the Lord Almighty has purpose, and who can oppose him? His hand is stretched out, and who can turn it back? Amos 3:6. When a disaster comes to a city, has not the Lord caused it? That is a power statement. When a disaster comes to the city, has that not the Lord started or caused it? God is the ruler of all. He's the maker of all. He's the finisher of all things. It is impossible to think that I have a saying in the matter. And all the things that come to pass and will come to pass. Here is God taking charge for the existing of evil, For he's God and he's in control. Isaiah 45, 5 to 12. I am the Lord thy God, the Lord God, and there is no other apart from me. There is no God. I will strengthen you through you have not acknowledged me, so that from the rising of the sun to the place of the setting, people might know there is none that besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I bring prosperity and create disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things. Woe to those who quarrels with the maker, a piece of pottery, that's you and I. You and I are a piece of pottery. Who are we to question God and his decision? Who are we to say, I got something on the matter? You and I don't have that decision. You and I, we cannot quarrel with the Creator because we don't know when he founded the earth. We don't know when the sea stopped on the sand. We don't know when he set up the moon and the stars. But we argue with him. We question him. We don't like what he does. Why do we question that? Because we don't trust that he's in control. I form the light and create the darkness. I bring prosperity and create disaster. I, the Lord, do all those things. Powerful statement. But we forget who he is. We want God to be 99.9% in control. The other 1%, I want to say something on the matter. No. God is in control. Woe to the one who quarrels with the maker, a piece of pottery among other earthware, pottery pieces. Will the clay say to the potter, what are you doing? Or the thing you are making, he has no hands. Woe to him who says to the father, why are you fathering? Or to a woman, to what are you giving birth? This is what the Lord says to the Holy One of Israel's maker. Ask me about the things to come concerning my sons, and you should commit to me the work of my hands. It is I who made the earth and created mankind upon it. I stretched out the heavens with my hands, and I ordained all their lights. You ever seen the picture of the James Webb telescope? You ever seen those pictures? Try to do it one time. Look at the stars and the moon and how clear it looks on the galaxies and the suns and the stars. And we are potter. We are jars of clay questioning him. Why do you do those things? There's something wrong with our head. We question him. Who are you to question? Who am I to question he's doing? He does as he pleases. The modern Christianity wants to bring God to the level, making him almost equal to human, to us, to a position that limits God, who has no power to intervene on affairs of man. They make him a God who must be ready for surprises that might come during the lifetime. So some even write books about defining God and how he can work for us and please us in all our needs. Others do not want to admit the fact that he's in control of everything and accomplish everything according to his will and foreknowledge. God designed and allowed evil without being responsible for it. Try to dwell on that. He allowed evil to exist. But he's not responsible for it. Isn't that something? I mean, look at heaven. Created the angels. They rebel against him. That's where sin originated, in heaven. God was not in the garden, nervous, flipping his fingers, hoping that Adam and Eve would not sin, that they would do their best not to break God's law. It's like positive thinking, right? If positive thinking doesn't work for God, what makes you think it's going to work for us? It's not. Claim it and proclaim it. You speak it, it should be done. What a lie. It's a lie. And millions of Christians here in America have bought into that lie. Proclaim it. It's yours. Right? He brings the riches. He brings the poor. He brings the blind. He creates the blind. He creates the deaf. He creates the crippled. Right? Remember that blind man? The crippled guy. Who sinned? Him or his father? The blind guy, right? Him or his father? None. This was done so God's glory could be declared. Some doctrine, some pastors teach that you can be like Moses. You can be like Paul the Apostle. You can become anything you want. You can be anything in life. And we just read in the book of Psalms, am I not God who sets the path of man, controls everything? God is the one who provides the will and the want of his own sovereignty. And people ask, why bad things happen to people? There's no good people. There's none. None. Not even the person sitting in the White House, or the one before that, or the one after that. There's none that does evil, that is good. Everyone wants to have an opinion about God according to what they're being told, or what they believe who God is or ought to be. We have entered this phase in Christianity where we think we can control God. That he's got no say on the matter. Newsflash. He has since the beginning. Newsflash. He would end it all. Why do you think he would want permission from jars of clay? Of pieces of pottery, the Bible calls it. He doesn't. Everything that happens because he allows it. Everything that goes through in this world because he allows it. The good and the bad. I remember when the Twin Towers happened. People blame every kind of thing. But you think he was in control of those days? If he drowned 10 million people on the flood, let's suppose there were 10 million people. If he drowned those 10 million people, who do you think? What else do you think he cannot do? He created heaven and earth. When the flood happened, he left an arch, right? So every time you see that arch, which is the rainbow, it says, remember, the flood's not going to happen, but the fire is coming. The fire is coming. Sometimes we would like to believe that we have control of the future, the control of the future of a nation, and what the outcome of is of everything. He's the potter, I am the clay. If you ever done it, look at us, look at the moon, look at the stars at night. How beautiful. Yet, he put him there. He put him there. There are millions upon millions and upon millions of stars that no one can count. Even scientists come short. They don't understand it. They never will. But look what Psalm 147 says. I'm sorry, Psalm 147. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by their name. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by their name. So he's in control. He's the ruler. He governs over everything, controls about everything. If a calamity has been in a city, have I not caused it, says the Lord? I want to read a part of the Westminster Confession, chapter 5. It says, God, the great creator of all things, uphold, direct, dispose, and govern all creatures, actions, and things, from the greatest even to the least, by his most wise and holy providence, according to his infallible foreknowledge, in the free and immutable counsel of his own will, to the praise of the glory of his wisdom, power, and justice, goodness, and mercy. Although in relation to the foreknowledge and decree of God, the first cause all things to pass immutably and infallibly, yet by the same providence, he ordered them to fall out according to the nature of its second causes, either necessarily, freely, or contingently. God in his ordinary providence made us of means, yet is free to work without above and against them at his pleasure. Amen. I'm so glad he's in control. I'm so glad I don't have to worry about what the outcome is. We try to change the outcome of society, try to change even the elections. We do our part, like the Bible says. We do our part. We vote, we do. Let God sort it out. But we get upset because we don't like the outcome. So that means if you get upset, that means you are pretty much not agreeing with God. Not agreeing with what he does. I had a conversation with a coworker this week, and he believes in Christian Science. I'll tell you what, that's not even Christian, not even science, what they believe. There's something wrong with that belief. And they believe that everything is just an image, that nothing is real, that sin is not real, that adultery is not real, that death is not real, that murder is not real. No. And they're trying to find how to predict the future. And I ask them a question, why would you want to know the future? Why would you want to know the future? I don't. What would I want to know if there is death around the corner that I don't know about? Why would I want to know if there's death, somebody's going to die that I love so much around the corner? I don't need to know. But God knows. He does. He is in control. He does as he pleases. Do you remember that time when Martha and Mary came and told Jesus, "You're too late. He stinks. It's been 3 days." And Christ said, "I am the resurrection and the life." He could have been there earlier, but he had a purpose. He had a purpose. God had a purpose since the beginning. God had a purpose when he saved you, he saved me. You and I were not looking for him. He looked for you. Even in the crucifixion of Christ, there was a purpose. People blamed the Jews because they said, "Oh, they crucified Jesus." Look what Acts 2:22-24 says. "Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourself know. This man delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nail to a cross by the hands of the godless man and put him to death. But God raised him from the dead, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in his power. Hallelujah. What a verse. The man that you thought that you killed, he was predestined to die. God had a plan for knowledge, plan for this man, for Jesus. It was predestined by God that the plan of God would come through, that the Son of Man would die, and that God would raise him from the dead. So in conclusion, that was the introduction, okay? God takes full responsibility of evil. He allowed it to exist. He designed it to be part of this universe. God doesn't need to be bailed out. God doesn't need to be saved. God doesn't need to be defended. God doesn't need a man to tell him what or what not to do. He has done everything he has pleased since the beginning of the world. He will do everything he pleases. He will continue to do everything as he pleases. To one whole combination, to bring this world, this creation, you know, to a point where at some point people will cry out to him, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Meanwhile, we live in this world, we suffer, we struggle, we fight, yet he is in control. No matter what the calamity is, no matter what happens, we know that he's in control. When we read the scriptures, God has shown us a way to understand who he is. Not by human knowledge, not by human understanding, not by some book or some preacher, but by his word. If there is a calamity in the city, have I not caused it? Amos. If anything is going through your life, if you're going through trials and tribulation, who is in control? God is. Though it might not seem that things are going to take a turn for the better, but we trust in him. If God was able to tell Job, "What were you when I said the foundation of the earth?" He's telling us the same thing. To trust him and acknowledge him. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for your love and mercy, Father. Thank you for your kindness. You are God. We're just jars of clay. We don't deserve your kindness. We don't deserve you. But yet you predestined us to be followers of your kingdom through your Son, Jesus Christ. Through your love and mercy, God. You always been in control. You are in control. Even if evil exists, Lord, you allowed it to exist. What a pleasure it is to know that you are in control. The knowledge, Lord, and we look at everything you have done and your power and your grace. And to him who's sitting on the throne and to the Lamb, glory and honor be praised to him. Lord, your majesty, your awesomeness, Father, what a privilege is to know you and that we have a hope in this world that the world doesn't have. By your mind, by your righteousness, by your will, things are done. And nobody can question you, Lord. And nobody has ever questioned you, Lord. And nobody can detour your plans. No man can do that. What a great God we serve. Allow us to keep your word in our hearts and understand that you are God, you are awesome. And Father, glory and honor is to you. Even if evil exists, Lord, you get glory. You receive the glory, Lord. You're God. Holy, holy are you, Lord. Thank you for your love and mercy. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.